The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. And on this edition of the podcast, I am delighted to be joined by John O'Connell. John, great to see you. Not seen you for a while. How are you? Keeping well?
Yeah, I'm in good form, Bobby. Yeah, I've been up here for a couple of days. Good racing yesterday and hopefully the same again today.
What have you been up to? I've seen you a few times on Racing TV cropping up.
Yeah, I was there a couple of times last week, in again on Thursday for a bit of Warwick and Beverly action. Keep myself busy, best way. Keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah, definitely. That's my motto as well. I say if I keep busy, it will keep me out of it. I say mischief though as opposed to trouble, because people do see me as quite mischievous, I think is the best way to describe it. Right then, just before we look ahead to tomorrow's racing and get your selections as well, we need to talk about a certain result yesterday at Fairy House. This was the 440 and it was a Grade A handicap hurdle at a certain Ivanovic Gorbachev for Joseph O'Brien, and JJ Slevin won his first race since winning the Triumph Hurdle in 2016 at the Cheltenham Festival. So it's been a very long time coming. But the reason why I want to talk to you about it more is because look at the horses he beat on that day, just over 3 years ago now, in the Triumph Hurdle. Fantastic.
Yeah, they weren't a bad bunch, were they? 37 months ago, 24 races ago. So all those people have been waiting for Ivanovic to do his bit to boost the form. Well, I hope they kept the faith until yesterday. It's been a long time coming. But I suppose you could say it was his last run before that at the big February festival meeting at Leopardstown. He ran very well when placed that day in a hot handicap hurdle. And yesterday he finally came good. So, yeah, good luck to those of you who kept the faith.
Yeah, let's hope he can kick on now. We don't have to wait so long for him to win again. But I'm just looking here, you know, I'm just going to name you a few horses that he beat in the Triumph Hurdle just over 3 years ago. Appleshade was second. Footpad was third. We had Clander's Oboe finishing sixth. Frodon was eighth.
Yeah, whatever happened to him, hey?
Whatever happened to Frodon. So Royale, 12th.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's plenty in there, yeah.
They certainly were.
Yeah, the backers of the horse yesterday were probably saying, I told you so. I told you one day you'd come good.
Moving on to the flat. Yesterday at Yarmouth, it was a very good day at the office for a certain Sylvester de Souza.
Yeah, turned up there. He actually had four rides booked, but he didn't ride the last. He rode the first three races, then left with three winnings under his belt. And on each occasion, he beat Oisin Murphy. So Oisin Murphy would have been pleased to see the back of him yesterday. These winners don't count for the jockey title. The championship starts in 10 days time on Guineas Day. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of an argument for a lot of people. I think it should be starting now. I can't see any reason why it waits that long. But the two jockeys who are thought by virtually everyone to be the two to fight out the finish for this year's title. Yeah, they were at Hammer and Tong yesterday at Yarmouth by the seaside.
And just confirming as well, when you said about champion jockey there, of course, Dickie Johnson,
yes.
He's champion jockey again.
Yeah, is that the fourth year, is it? Third or fourth year, I'm not too sure. But
when did AP retire? Was it 2015 he retired?
That sounds about right, yeah.
So I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, fully deserved another championship. He's had to work hard again to hold off Harry Skelton. Harry Skelton had a big lead last summer. Richard Johnson piled on the winners, and the core part of the season, I suppose, November, December, January, that's when he really, really made his mark, and he's held off Skelton by about 15 winners, and they go again, don't they, from next week, I think. They don't have much of a break, much of a turnaround, these Jumps boys.
Straight back into it, aren't they? And just talking about that as well, Harry Skelton, he was clear, wasn't he, in the summer? Because I can remember talking to him at the summer plate meet, you know, at Market Raising.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember, you know, how far he was in front, but he was in front, and by some margin as well.
He was about 25 clear, I think, at one time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And, well, he's always going to be, it'll be the same again this year, injuries permitting, of course, because his brother obviously has that, but he's now got just a huge pool of horses, but he does have a wealth of horses. He's got about three teams now, so the spring, summer, autumn collection, if you like, they'll be giving him a healthy lead up till October, November again, and it's just whether they can get another batch, if you like, through the winter to hold on. And I think there's every chance, because his brother Dan, that's an incredible achievement to hit 200 winners, which he managed to do with a six-timer on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's obviously getting bigger and bigger each year. I think, having had the 200 this year, the next aim will be to make his brother champion as well. And I think they have every chance of doing that next season.
Yeah.
The team's only going to get bigger and better.
I'd echo those thoughts as well. And just looking at the Dan Skelton yard in general, they've pretty much been in fine form all season throughout the spring, the summer, the winter, the autumn. They've just been phenomenal.
Absolutely. And he's brilliant at placing horses, which sounds an odd thing to say, but you think, well, surely all trainers should be good at placing their horses or getting people to help place their horses. But he knows exactly the limits and the capabilities of what he's got, and he finds the right races, and there's a bit of an art to it, and he does it. And you'll see, he'll have a horse who'll win a novice chase one day, and then he wins a handicap hurdle about 4 or 5 days later. He can mix and match between the two codes, and he just gets absolute maximum every horse. If you ever have a trainer who sells a horse on to Dan Skelton, they must watch the rest of his career from behind a sofa, because he gets the most and improves these horses so much.
He does absolutely phenomenal, and hopefully both Dan and Harry will have another sensational season next season as well. Right then, John, I'm going to ask you for your two selection, just to let the listeners know what's coming up for Wednesday. So the racing at Beverley, Perth, Warwick, Tipperary, Kempton and Chelmsford. Thursday.
The Easter Monday, the bank holiday has put you right off.
It's because I had Easter Sunday and Easter Monday off, so it's like I'm losing my day, so I'm just going to redeem myself there. So for Thursday, the race at Beverley, Perth, Warwick, Tipperary, Kempton, Chelmsford, a very busy Thursday of racing. Where will your two selections be, please?
We'll do one flat, one Jumps. We'll start off at the flat at Beverley, the 4:55 race. The obvious place to go is the bottom horse, Kylie Rules, Ruth Carr's filly, who absolutely hacked up last week at Beverley, first run for Ruth Carr, and under a penalty, Kylie Rules is well in. She may well go in again. She's going to be a shortish price, but because she's a fairly short price, it makes the market a little bit. And we'll play instead on the Richard Fahey trained International Man, ridden by Sean Davis, who is everyone's idea of one of the top apprentices for this forthcoming season. International Man, I did win a race last season at York, and I thought ran a pleading race at Redcar even, on its reappearance a couple of weeks ago. Well backed on that occasion. Third in a better class handicap than the one we've got tomorrow, but did well that day. Did probably best of the horses who raced prominently, and I think a bit of value International Man gives us against the hot favourite Kylie Rules.
International Man then, the selection on the flat tomorrow for Richard Fahey. And just briefly to touch upon, cracking recruit to Muswell Bank, Sean Davis is.
Yeah, he's had loads of experience in Ireland over the last couple of years. He's been riding as an apprentice over there for about 3 years, so he's got a lot of experience under the belt. I saw him in action at the weekend again at Musselburgh. He looks very tidy. He's very strong in the finish. And yeah, he's clearly got to be near the top, especially with Richard Fire. You're going to give him so many mounts as well, and that's even before you start getting the outside mounts from the other Yorkshire trainers.
Three jumps meeting on Thursday to enjoy, Perth, Warwick and Kempton as well. Where will the selection be?
We're going to Warwick. Some big fields there at Warwick tomorrow, but I'm going to go for one of the smaller fields, and the race in question is the 340, the 2 mile handicap chase. Just the five runners, and the horse in question is the top one, number one, Cruiseaway, trained by Tom George, ridden by Johnny Burke, who's having a good time of things these days. It's not a strong race, 0-120 contest, but Cruiseaway is a horse who, as a youngster, connections thought a lot of this horse, but he's had training problems and he's lost a lot of his career. But at least he showed something at Doncaster last time. Now, he's never going to be the horse that connections hoped he might be. And beaten six lengths by Away for Slates doesn't really, you would have thought at first glance, give you an awful lot of hope. But at least Away for Slates was in good form at that time. He actually won again a week later. This is a pretty weak race tomorrow, and I think with a bit more fitness and a bit more experience over fences under his belt, I think Cruiseaway can start making up for lost time, is probably the nicest way of putting it, and get a win tomorrow at Warwick.
Fantastic stuff, John. Always a pleasure to work with you here on the podcast.
Cheers, Bobby.
Yeah, as I say, busy day and evening as well of racing. You can hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio. It gets underway at 1:30, and the team on Racing Radio for Thursday are John Gibby, Ross Briley and Craig Forsyth.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.